Now will you notice, I begin reading at verse 29. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent you sent for me. Now this is what amazes me. Why would Simon Peter ask that question? I would think he'd open up the conversation immediately about the Lord Jesus. But do you notice he doesn't? This man is waiting for the leading of the Spirit, friends. He's not rushing into this. This ought to be a lesson to many of us today who are rather brusque or crude even in our witnessing. We find it difficult to witness, so we are very, generally when we do it very amateurish, and we do it abruptly, and we do it in a way that sometimes offends. And we ought not to witness like that, of course. We ought to be led of the Spirit of God. I personally believe that the finest kind of evangelism is prayer evangelism. And I mean by that to begin praying for an individual. Then the day comes when you need to put legs on your prayer. Then ask God if you're praying for a loved one, if you're praying for a friend, or a stranger you've met, ask God to lead you. And friends, I know that He'll lead you. Don't just do this on your own, because if you do it in the flesh, of course, you're going to fail. Let God be the one to lead you. Well, I wonder if I may right here repeat something I have told before, but when I was a student in college, I was very zealous to want to witness for God, but again, I was rather timid and shy about it, and I very frankly wanted to be sure I had leading. Formerly, when I was in college, I did a great deal of hitchhiking because I didn't have money to pay my bus fare or train fare. So I was out on the highway, and a man went by me in a Model A Ford, a brand new one, by the way, and he drove down, I suppose, 50 yards past me, stopped, and then he motioned for me to come, and I came rushing up with my little suitcase, and he said to me, get in. He said, I just wanted to look you over before I picked you up. He said, I don't want to pick up anyone without first looking them over. He introduced himself. He was a salesman for several of these drug concerns. And he asked me, he said, where are you going? I said, to Memphis. He said, well, I'm going there, and I'd be glad to take you. He said, provided you don't mind me stopping at several drug stores on the way. I'll be stopping there to get orders. So we rode along and talked about everything under the sun, and I was praying under my breath. I said, Lord, I'd like to say something to this man, but you'll have to open the door for me. I'm not going to open the door for the simple reason that he might open the door here if I mention anything about religion and say, what have I got in here, some religious nut, and turn me out way down on the highway somewhere where I didn't want to be turned out, and I'd have difficulty. So I very frankly said to him, just answering his questions. And so we rode along. We talked about, I think, everything under the sun. He'd stop at several drug stores on the way. At lunchtime, he asked me, was I hungry? And I was, and he bought my lunch. He said to me, I get awfully tired of driving. Do you drive? I said, yes. He said, would you like to? I said, I sure would. So I got in and started driving. And we rode along, talked about different things. He was very much relaxed. He had mentioned this thing and that thing. Finally, we ran out of conversation. We were about 60 miles out of Memphis, riding along, and there came a lull in the conversation because, as I said, we just run out of conversation. And I was praying all the time. I said, Lord, we're getting near Memphis. There hadn't been a door open. I'm not going to open it. I don't want to be put out. I said, if you want me to witness, then you open the door for me. Well, we rode along, I guess, 10 minutes. And finally, he just spoke out of a clear sky. He says, you know, my wife and I went to church yesterday. And he laughed and looked at me and laughed, and I laughed too. And he said, you know, I don't go very often. And he said, you know, that preacher said the funniest thing. He said that Jesus was coming back to this earth again. He said, what do you think about that? Well, I told him, friends, from then on in, I told him what I thought about it, and I was able to talk to him about the first coming of Christ. And I said to him, finally, I said, the second coming of Christ means nothing to you. But I said, it's the first coming, that you've got to come to Christ to accept what he did for you the first time, if you'd have any interest at all in his second coming. And this man was, very frankly, wide open. And he actually took me to the dormitory where I stayed at college. And he parked there, and he said, I want to see you again. And so I just blurted right out. I said, wouldn't you like to accept Christ as your Savior? He said, I sure would. Well, I said, sitting right here, you can accept him. He said, I will. And so we bowed our heads in prayer, and I prayed and asked him to pray, and he accepted Christ. May I say to you, I'll be honest with you, I would never open my mouth if the Lord hadn't somehow or another prompted him to open up a conversation. I think, friends, we need to be Spirit-led. And do you know the first sermon I preached when I was ordained in Nashville, I looked down the congregation, and there sat that man and his wife. He just sat down there smiling. Afterward, I said to him, I said, look, I'd like for you to join this church. He said, I've already joined a Baptist church over on the other part of town. And he says, it's a good church, and I'm not about to move over here with you. And he didn't. But it was wonderful, friends, to have that experience. I think that we ought to be very careful in our witnessing. That's my idea. And this man, Simon Peter, is not blurting out, saying anything. He's led by the Spirit of God. He said to him, why in the world have you called for me? Why'd you send for me?